There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
We are rolling into our 8 o'clock hour here in the morning shift. It is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing like some of these NFL players are doing now that the NFL trade deadline has passed. Some guys on the move, notably Marshawn Lattimore from the Saints, headed to the Commanders. The Saints will receive a third-round pick, a fourth-round pick, and a sixth-round pick. Washington will get Lattimore and a fifth-round pick. We'll come back to that. Za'Darius Smith traded to the Lions to the Browns, or traded to the Lions from the Browns. Khalil Herbert traded to the Bengals from the Bears. Jonathan Mingo traded to the Cowboys from the Panthers. Mike Williams traded to the Steelers from the Jets. Preston Smith traded to the Steelers from the Packers. Tre'Davious White traded to the Ravens from the Rams. And Khalil Davis traded to the 49ers from the Texans.
I think, and I want to get back to Marshawn Lattimore in a second, but I'm also looking at this list and I'm wondering from you guys, are you shocked that there weren't more deals being done? And I mean like quarterbacks, you know, other certain position players that you would have said, man, I thought that they would kind of bulk up at that position.
What I suspected happened was that probably, I need to look at the count, but it would be more moves made on the defensive side of the ball. I don't know why I was leaning that way, because I feel like teams might be in need. When I look at quarterbacks, if you're looking at Miami, maybe they could have been in need of someone. There was talk of maybe Bryce Young ending up there.
Yep.
Now that I recall that as well. So I'm not sure if this played out the way I actually thought it was going to play out, but you're right. Some teams didn't make some moves that you thought they were going to maybe be in the market for.
Yeah,
I actually heard that Calais Campbell could be a name that could be on the move. And I was curious if Atlanta would make the phone call to Miami and say, what would a Calais Campbell – now, it would be – it couldn't be more than a seventh, right? Because it's a one-year thing, but it would be a guy to come and help. I am not, because I think – look what – who's the best player that moved yesterday?
It'd be Marshawn.
Yeah,
I totally agree.
Marshawn or Za'Darius, I'd say. Yeah,
I think it's Marshawn, and I think Marshawn's.
Yeah, Za'Darius. You're right.
Well, I think Marshawn's under contract. I think that's why it. But you look at how much they gave up for him. They gave up three. I know they got one in return, but they gave up a third, a fourth, and what, a fifth. I think you said
for Marshawn.
Yeah,
a third pick, third round pick, fourth round pick, a sixth round pick. But like you had broke it down for everyone before, that's their own pick actually coming. Back to them.
They had given that up for John Ridgeway. The Saints had. That's a lot for a guy that's for a defensive back on the trade deadline day. To me, that's like an off-season type move with as much that was in that. But I think to get an elite player, it was going to cost a lot, and I just don't think teams in the middle of years where they're winning games, but you know they're not necessarily. It's not a play that puts them over the top. They're going to give up. If you had told me Myles Garrett or a Max Crosby, somebody like that, somebody that is going to change the makeup of your defense. See, Aiden Hutchinson is still the leading sack getter right now for the Detroit Lions, and he's been out for what, 4 weeks?
Has it been that?
Yeah, I don't know. It's been it's probably been middle of 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
So.
So that's one of the reasons why. Now, yes, we needed to do it, but I think they were probably going to give up more. It just goes into play that elite players weren't on the move like a lot of people thought. Good players, yes, but elite players, no.
Yeah. And you wonder, you know, again, what was the asking point for a lot of these guys? Ojulari was brought up. You wonder what they were asking for him because they kept Ojulari up in New York, but they also – they have two edge rushers on that team that you think of as being elite in the NFL. Whether they're – you know, whether that's the numbers that back that up is another conversation. But I just thought after all was said and done, and a lot will be made about the Atlanta Falcons not making a move, but – it's like I said at the top of the show, they already made that move. They traded a third for Matthew Judon. It just hasn't panned out. So I don't know if you double down and say, let's go back to the well and trade more picks. I don't think that's a recipe either. And so that's the decision they decided to make yesterday.
Well, real quick, yeah. You go back to Montez. Montez Sweat was traded last year at the deadline. We were in on that, but we couldn't get him because Chicago came over the top and offered more than we could. Had there been a guy like Montez Sweat where you think – you can make that deal and re-sign him, I absolutely think this team would have. But don't tell me that you think Azeez Ojulari is that guy. He's having one of the better seasons of his career. But as Mike said, he's with two other edge rushers, and they wanted a haul for him. And so now they're going to keep him and try to have to re-sign him or whatever because I think he's on an expiring contract. This is the end of his deal. So had that been out there, I think they would have done it. I just don't think that was there, and I think that was part of the deal for them.
The college football playoff rankings have dropped last night. It's the first ever 12-team edition, and you have Oregon at 1, Ohio State 2, then Georgia at 3, Miami 4, Texas 5, Penn State 6, Tennessee 7, 8, Indiana, BYU at 9, Notre Dame at 10, 11, Alabama, and the 12th spot going to Boise State.
And I want to ask Bo this question, Tiff, and I think this is kind of interesting. I was posed this question as well. Outside of the teams that would have a bye right now, you look at the top four, and of course, you're probably not going to leave Oregon and Ohio State there, but let's just keep them there for just this conversation's sake. Let's go back 5 through 12 right now, and who do you think is the best team in that group? Because I have my thoughts. Texas, obviously, is at 5, and they're the highest rank, but, boy, they looked less than ordinary against Georgia when they finally hit an elite defense and matched up with that. But you're going to go Texas, Penn State, Tennessee, Indiana, all those teams back to 12. And I'm honestly not sure. I know that Bama's at 11, but Lord knows I don't have a lot of confidence in them right now. So I'm not even sure where I stand on any of those teams 5 through 12. What's the worst draw?
I would tell you 5, 6, and 7 all have pretty good defenses. And I think that those three teams, based on their defenses alone, offensively at times, Penn State and Tennessee has been challenged offensively. But they both have pretty good defenses, and Texas does too. Texas is probably the best of those. It's Quinn Ewers was what he had been. He had been back. It was the second game back when he came in. Or no, was that his first? That was his first game back against Georgia. I think there might have been some rust in there. I'm trying to remember.
Yeah, I think it was the second one.
I did too. That's what I thought.
Because he played Oklahoma right before that.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
So you're cutting them some slack.
I'm cutting them a little bit of slack, but let's just call it what it is. There is no Georgia 2021. There is no Alabama from 2020. No LSU 2019. There is no one team that is so head and shoulders dominant this year like there has been in the past. And that's why the water is so muddy this year. That's why we are sitting here looking and saying, well, I'm not sold on that team because I'll tell you what, I'm not sold on Georgia. I'm not sold on Ohio State. And Oregon barely beat Ohio State at home thanks to clock mismanagement. Or maybe if you listen to their head coach, Dan Lanning,
it was clock management.
Clock manipulation. But there's a lot of good, but there's no over the top great.
Do you like the muddiness?
I love it.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I think it's the best thing for the first year of a 12-team playoff,
yes,
Tiffany.
I agree.
I'm with you, and I wonder how much of that facilitates one another, Tiff. Like, how much of it is muddy because we have super conferences and because there's a 12-team playoff, right? And where you would go into some of these games you used to play and think of them as elimination games in the BCS era, you're like, all right, well, you know, we lost that one, but we're still in it.
Or
we still got a chance.
Or is it because of the transfer portal?
Well, yeah.
Or is it because there's no team that has top to bottom depth that just can withstand anything because guys don't get to start or they're not playing as much as they want and they go somewhere where they can start and make more money.
I don't think there's any doubt that when you look at the top five, there is a lot of money behind every single one of those programs, right? I don't think there's any secret sauce to that one.
Well, let's get the thoughts on where Georgia is sitting in the college football playoff rankings from a former dog himself. We've got DJ Shockley, the sports director at Fox 5 Atlanta, also a former Atlanta Falcon, joining us here on the morning shift. When we return this hour, brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate, go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer in your home today and start.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
We are back and going straight to the WadeFord.com hotline. That is where we find former Georgia Bulldog and Atlanta Falcon QB, and now currently the sports director at Fox 5 Atlanta, DJ Shockley, joining us here on the show. Good morning, DJ.
Tiff, what up?
What's up?
How y'all doing?
What up, man?
We're doing good. The question is, how are you feeling about your dogs now with the college football playoff ranking, the 12-team edition? They are sitting in the third spot. Your thoughts on that? How do you feel?
Yeah, you know, it's crazy because I've been around Kirby so much that just hearing his message, I kind of, you know, feel like I'm one of the players on the team now, and that's how I kind of think about it. But I think we all know with obviously this being just the first one, it's the first of November, and there's so much big-time football still to go. Everything's going to work itself out, and I'll be honest, Kirby's probably glad they're not number one. I think we've seen over the years how many teams finish the season when they start the season number one, how many of them actually finish number one and play in a national championship. So I think he's fine. But ultimately, you look at it, you still got big games this weekend versus Ole Miss. You still got to play Tennessee next week. So you handle your business there. You got a chance to be a part of that conversation at the end of the year. So them being number three, is just a starting point, and I'm sure they're glad to be a part of that 12. But they know, obviously, there's so much football to play. They can go either way. So you can be happy about it. You can be mad about it, whatever way. It really don't matter right now because, as we all know, it's so much ball left to go.
Yeah, nobody believes in you, right, Shock? You just got to keep working. I mean, hey, what's going on with Carson Beck? I don't want to say what's wrong, but is he what's the deal with him? I mean, it's uncharacteristic of what we saw last year.
Yeah, Bo May, it's a good question, and it's something that obviously has been a concern. I mean, when you throw as many interceptions as he has, then you definitely look at it and like, okay, what's going on with 15? And to be honest, when you look at him, you say, this is still the same guy. I get a chance to be around him throughout the week. I get a chance to I go up there every Monday and I talk to Kirby and players, and every Monday I go in there, he's in the quarterback room by himself. He's, you know, looking at film. He's going through everything. He's doing the necessary things to make himself better. And then for whatever reason, you get in the ball game, and I don't know if he's forcing it, pressing the issue, whatever it may be, but there just has been some bad decisions that he's made. And to be honest, I've sat down with, you know, Coach Bobo a couple times and talked to him about it, and he says, you know what, if we got 74 plays in a ball game, 70 of them are really good. And I think people – you know, miss what's going on at the line of scrimmage. He does a lot in the run game. He does a lot in protections. He does a great job of making decisions every other time. There's just those two or three, four plays in a ball game where he does not make the right decision. And I'm not sure if it's he fully trusts everything that's going on around him, or if it's just a situation where he wants to, you know, push that football down the field so much sometimes. But I'll be honest, you know, throwing it into coverage a few times, that's not a good look. He has definitely forced the issue a bit, and that's something that's going to definitely hurt the Dawgs down the line if that continues. But being around him on the sideline, I've talked to him after series, the mindset is still there. What he wants to do, he understands everything that's going on. I mean, I was there last game against Florida, and they're going through all the tape, and they're going through these different scenarios, and it's purely just decision-making. And there are times where I'm sitting there watching, and they're like, all right, you see this, you see that. We got to make sure we go the other way with it. And he understands it, he sees it. But I don't think anybody can truly know what's going on unless you're inside Carson Beck's mind. And right now it just looks like some poor decisions.
Well, Shock, they'll get Ole Miss this weekend. Obviously, 3:30 kick, a lot was made of that. Then they'll wrap up SEC play a couple of weeks before the end of the season with Tennessee. And the question I get asked the most about Georgia, and honestly from some of my Bama friends that want to know about this team, are they getting better? Are they ascending? And I don't know how to answer that, Shock, because I think they're getting more healthy. I think defensively they looked better at times. But there's still questions about this offense, and I think when you start looking towards them being in the driver's seat for the SEC title and possibly having a bye in the playoffs and all the things that come along with that, I don't know how to answer whether or not Georgia is getting better at this point or if they're just kind of holding serve at this point in the season.
I'll be honest, Mike. I think right now it's more of holding serve. As you look at, obviously, the last two big ball games when you have Texas and you have this last one against Florida where you know have two or three interceptions, but you still find a way to win the ball game. Now, whether that's your defense coming up big and obviously forcing an issue and getting the football back to you and stymieing the other team's offense, or I look at it kind of how what happened in that last game where Carson goes 11 for 12 in the fourth quarter in those crucial situations that give you a chance to go win the ball game. Now, you don't want those other mistakes, but when it matters the most, that's when 15 has came up for you. Obviously, they haven't ran the ball as effective as they wanted to. I think they're like freaking 97th in the country in rushing offense. They're 79th in third down offense. Those are not like what you say winning football. Those are not situations of the game, as we both know, that will go out and win you a national championship. So I think there is a point where you have to find a way where you continue to grow and get better. Now, the only thing that you can lean on right now is you're still winning ball games. And even with all the mistakes, you still beat two really good ball teams over the last couple of weeks that has helped you. So we'll see over the next 2 weeks. Obviously, it's another chance to go on the road versus Ole Miss. We know you can't have those mistakes because they scored 42 points a ball game. It's a really good offense. Lane and Kirby are really good friends. I know he's got some crazy stuff drawn up, and he would love to be able to knock off Georgia in this ball game. So this will be another interesting game on the road. But I think the fact they've been at Texas, they've been at Kentucky, they've been at Bama, that environment won't be too much for them, and they'll be good.
We have DJ Shockley, the sports director at Fox 5 Atlanta, and former Georgia Bulldog and Atlanta Falcon QB joining us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. Could you give us any insight into Travis Etienne for this UGA team? I know he's tried to battle through what might be a rib injury or something like that during that game against Florida, and maybe hopefully they'll get him at full strength or something going into Ole Miss game.
Yeah, Steph, you know, he did go down with a rib injury. He went in the ball game and he had the rib pads on. And he went in during halftime, and you could tell the discomfort wasn't there. And I think that's a good thing why you go out and recruit really well. So you got a freshman in Nate Frazier who got ripped a couple times by Kirby after doing the Gator Chomp Slash.
Yes.
But he's a talented kid as well. But you hope he's back. And everything I've heard is that, you know, he's done everything possible to be back because they're definitely going to need him for the stretch run. And he was just starting to kind of get his feel in his offense. And, it took him 6 or 7 weeks to get going. I mean, obviously he had three tubs in that previous ball game, but this is a guy who is a guy who they really wanted to be a part of the team, a guy that Kirby went out and said, you know, we need a guy who can be a home run threat but also be a downhill physical back, and you've seen him do that in his instance. So you can only hope he comes back because you're going to need both of those guys as we go down this stretch. But everything I've heard from Trevor is he should be all right, but it just depends on how much pain he can handle, how much the pain tolerance is in a ball game. And as we know, there's ways to get by that for about 3 hours on a Saturday.
Shock, I got a ton of questions I want to ask you about the Falcons. I don't know if I want to ask about Bijan, Zach Robinson, or Kirk Cousins. Which one would you rather talk about? Which one of those three would you rather talk about? And I'll go there.
Hey, man, I'm cool with any of them because they all do anything.
Talk about the job that Zach Robinson is doing, integrating, you know, Bijan Robinson in this offense, along with Litton Kirk and Darnell Mooney and all these other guys. Everybody is eating right now, and it feels like it's a pick your poison. They shut down Pitts. Darnell went off last week. Like, talk about the job that Zach Robinson's doing with getting everyone involved in the offense.
Yeah, Bo, it's been fun to watch, man. I think it's been a gradual process, too, of understanding what all those guys can do. And we go back to week one, and we look at how this offense looked, and I think in week one, everybody said, oh, my God, Kirk can't move. He can't run. This offense is terrible. I don't know what we're going to do. We gave this dude all this money. But you've seen the growth from this offense. And give Zach Robinson a lot of credit in that, because not only he forced a defense to cover every 53 in the third, they go vertical as well. And Kirk does such a good job of moving the football around and finding his guys. And, you know, I know Michael loves this. You got to get them big boys up front a lot of credit, too, because there's been times – when that dude's gotten back to his fifth read, like he did with Bijan a couple weeks back in Tampa, he's gotten to his third and fourth read. So he's had time to sit in the pocket and survey the field and go find dudes. The touchdown last week to Mooney, that took a little bit more time than usual. But this is an offense with Zach Robinson that he puts a lot of pressure on a lot of teams. And you watch it from formations, you watch it from motions to shifts to Kirk understanding what's going on and then each guy being on the same page. This offense is tough to stop, man. And just think about it. Last week, my man Drake goes out of the game, and there's not a letdown anywhere. Mm-hmm. The guys continue to push the football down the field, whether it was Red or, you know, whoever came in the ball game. Ray got a big touchdown. It doesn't matter. This is an offense that I think when you got the guy at the helm who knows where to go with it and is smart and efficient with it, it makes it so tough. So Zach Robinson, I think, is coming into his own for sure, calling plays. And he's just starting to figure out where each guy in his offense fits. And then Kirk is that absolute distributor, like you said, being a really good point guard.
Yeah. You got lucky there, Shot, because I told Dave Archer the other day he was going to start making the list if he didn't give more shout-outs to that offensive line. So I had my finger on the button for you, man.
You know I love big boys. Come on, Mike. You know that.
I love it, man. Hey, real quick before we let you go, the deadline was yesterday. The Falcons don't make a move. We've kind of tossed it back and forth all day. Were you surprised? Were you shocked? Did you think they would try to do something, or are you cool with them kind of standing pat right now?
Yeah, I thought they would. I mean, I'll be honest. Obviously, all the conversation was about trying to get more pass rush, trying to get after QB, and there were a couple dudes out there that you thought maybe you could add to it, but then you go out and get three sacks. You know the guys are working hard, and, you know, Rob put this team together for a reason, and he always talks about we're going to ride with the guys we got, and obviously you're always looking, but if it doesn't work, then you feel good about it because these are the guys that you said you wanted to go to battle with. So I was surprised, but in the end of the day, I was like, Ron knows a little bit more than we probably do about his guys and the way they go about it. And, you know, they've been around the quarterback. They've been close. They're putting the pressure on him. Just haven't gotten into the ground. But hopefully this is something good to come. And Grady talks about it all the time. Once you get one or two, they come in bunches. So we can only hope that the sack total starts to go up now.
DJ, we appreciate the excellent insight.
I'm ready.
And you appeasing the offensive lineman in the room as well. That's
right. Always.
Thanks for joining us.
I appreciate it. Tiff, I always got to keep the whole line happy, man.
You know? Yeah, you're right about that. You're right about that.
Thanks a lot, Shock.
Former Georgia Bulldog in Atlanta and former Atlanta Falcon quarterback, also sports director at Fox 5 Atlanta, DJ Shockley, joining us here in the morning shift. You can follow him on X at DJ Shockley 3. This hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. We have a life of squid ahead.
Yeah, I did something that I haven't done since 2008 last night. Also,
you're nice
I'm going
to
take.
Someone?
Well, not you. Also, I'm going to take up for Joel Embiid.
Ooh. You're funny.
Next in the morning shift, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And
the Odyssey app.
We are rolling along here on the morning shift. Do you find a hat that fits your head?
What? Whoa.
I rolled
over and chose violence today.
I didn't. I noticed that.
This one's from bigheadcaps.com.
Okay.
Tiff, thank you very much.
Right. That's a website? Yes, for people with big heads. I don't think you qualify.
You know what's funny, Tiff? We did that remote at Buckhead Butcher Shop, and they were like, hey, do you want a hat? And I was like, man, I'm not even going to waste y'all's time. You know what I mean? I'm not even going to waste y'all's time because it's not for me.
The least you could do is say yes and then let me pick it out.
I explained to him in the moment. I said, I'm not trying to, this is going to come off as disrespectful, but I don't want a hat because I'm just wasting y'all's money if I were to take that hat. So. Yeah, it would have been like Kirk having that thing on at the Masters. Remember when I said that?
Yeah.
Kirk's at the Buckhead Butcher Shop. I love it, man. So, yeah. No, Tiff.
I didn't know if I had mine on.
Yeah, it was cool. I got a big hat.
All right, well, you waste people's money. Don't waste my time. Dylan is.
Yeah. Dang, it would have been.
This is the NFL, dog. That don't fly. That's right. W sauce. Put it on my meat. Smoke it. And I follow it up with a... The Owl Inn Lager from New Realm. And before I get into anything else about my friends at New Realm, I will tell you...
Your meat's getting cooked.
You stay away from my meat. I can't even... Sometimes I can't even. Like, I can't even with my own... Yeah. Don't forget Brown Grass Charity Golf Classic. Look, if you want to be a part of it, hit me up. I know that it says we're sold out, but I might be able to pull strings for you.
You know people up there at that golf course?
Well, I know me.
Okay.
And I'm the person to pull strings.
Okay.
But it is for Pets for Vets. It's November 25th. So even if you don't want to play, there are other ways to participate. Go to the 929 Game website, click on the events page, and you will see all the details you need and links that you need to become a part of it in any way, shape, or form. We want you there if you can be. All right. Last night I did something I haven't done since 2008, I guess.
16 years ago.
Any guesses?
No, I have absolutely none.
Watch the Power Rangers.
I'm trying to think. How old were you in 2008?
I know. 2008, you were just...
25?
Oh, yeah. You're older than me.
So. Yeah, I am. And I was also an old college student because I went back to college, baby.
2008, you'd be like 22 or something,
on
or 21.
At Kennesaw State.
No, I was 2008, I was 25. I'm 41, dog. That would make me 38.
You're 40.
I'm older than you. You just said that.
I know,
40.
But
did you forget you're old?
Never mind. I'll work on my math later.
Yeah, you're old. Remember that.
I graduated college 2007.
Oh, so you were an old student, too.
No, but continue.
I was, too. It's all right.
Look. Yeah, it was 2008. I was just thinking. Went back, saw a game at Kennesaw State Convocation Center. They played Toccoa Falls. I went with my boys from New Realm, my buddy Chaz, my neighbor Carter went. We went and enjoyed some of the New Realm Owl Inn Lager at the game. It was cool. Drinking a beer with the Kennesaw State logo. I put it on Instagram at the Kennesaw State game with, you know, the logo everywhere. So it was cool. Scrappy. Got a picture with Scrappy.
Yeah.
I'll post that. Yeah.
How'd the team do? Antoine Pepley holding it down over there.
Good. They did. They rolled. Yeah. I left 5 minutes before the game was over, and they had like 90 points. So they might have scored 100 last night on them. I had to double check.
Wow.
I knew the game was in hand.
Get your dollars out.
What is that?
You never seen that?
No.
Oh, when your team's getting close, you get the dollar bill out. Let's get the 100 mark. Yeah, that's all right, though.
Cool. Anyways, but yeah, I had a lot of fun. Look, I want to talk about something. I said Joel Embiid's name wrong on purpose because that's how Tiffany pronounced it.
I bet you did a long time ago.
He was suspended 3 games for the altercation he had, the physical altercation.
Joel Embiid.
I don't believe in putting hands on people, but he put his hands on Marcus Hayes, I believe is the writer's name, who wrote an article where he referenced basically Embiid's lack of play in some ways of lack of effort, and he mentioned the fact that Joel's son was named after his late brother. And I don't blame Embiid at all for being angry. And to be quite honest, because I know Mike is honest every time he speaks to us and he tells us.
Sometimes you have to be.
But it's... Look, we shouldn't be violent physically, but it's hard to get on to Embiid at this situation because of this, you know, what was said, and bringing up family into this is wrong. Do not make things personal. You made it personal, Mr. Hayes. And honestly, you should be reprimanded by your outlet. Now, Embiid's been suspended 3 games. I will say that some people came out with the jokes that if they really wanted to punish him, they'd have made him play 3 games in a row, which is wrong.
That is wrong.
But funny. But look, guys, and I tell people this in our business, but I'll tell you guys, you know, y'all, anybody out there, first off, don't be tagging players in tweets because they don't care, and most of the time they're not going to respond. It's just silly. It makes you look silly. But the other thing is do not make it personal because it is their job, but you don't go to Home Depot and make it personal with the guy that's helping you shop, right? You don't make it personal. You don't talk about their family or anything like that. And if you do, you're a bad person. Don't make it personal.
Yeah.
Because that's how you lose people, and that's how it gets really nasty, and it's the worst of everything.
Yeah, and I think the hardest thing for athletes like that, the pill to swallow, is that shroud of anonymity, because we a lot of times don't know the writer's name. You don't know the guy's name who was following Jason Kelce. You don't know his name. As a matter of fact, I told somebody the other day, the best thing that Jason Kelce could have done is gotten out his own phone and turned it around and filmed the guy saying what he was saying. And then putting that guy on social media.
And then let the social media
right.
people
and then
find
let
him.
Social media do work. You smash the phone and he comes out and apologizes. But to your point, this is happening more and more. We talked about James Franklin the other day, you know, talking to somebody in the crowd or whatever it is. There's been staffers on college football teams get let go because of that. And so the shroud of anonymity is something that I think is frustrating for a guy like Joel Embiid, because we're not ever going to really pay attention to the other guy. We're going to pay attention to his reaction. And that's something that he has to understand and deal with. But I'm with you. Keep the family out of it, man. It's not the way to go about your business. Even if you feel like there's something to be said about his play, keep it at his play.
We will find out what's coming up on the Steakhouse next on the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.